All right, let's run this.
What is up? My man, my mellow. Get on the microphone if you get that jello.
I'm glad we could get back together and process our time away from San Diego. Episode 18, Educated Guest Podcast. I'm not even sure we need to run the disclaimer today because, you know what? We're not going to have no crazy opinions that are going to reflect poorly on anybody today.
We might. I mean, there's one topic that's kind of sore, but you know what? Let's run the disclaimer anyway.
Okay, so the opinions expressed herein belong to myself and Rodrigo, and in no way, shape, or form do they reflect those of our employer or any of the associations that we work for. Now let's talk shit.
Yeah, baby. Come on with it. So we are here to, we're going to debrief the Boost Conference, the 2017 Boost Conference that we went to in Palm Springs, the best of out-of-school time conference, biggest of its kind, largest in the nation.
I would say there was probably a couple thousand people there. I mean, I never really saw the same face twice unless I knew them, unless they were in your circle.
Right,
okay?
Right.
It was a huge conference. It took up the majority of the Palm Springs Convention Center. Everybody walking around had the lanyard on.
Yeah.
I mean, we was deep.
It was pretty impressive. I want to say 2,500, close to 2,500 people there.
And so what we want to try to do for you today is we want to try to give you a big picture of what Boost looks and feels like. We also want to give you a little bit of insider information, and hopefully you'll be interested in going next year. What's the date for next year's Boost Conference?
Next year, 2018 Boost, May 1st. To fourth.
And if you work for a school district, if you work for a school that has an after school program or is interested in it, get them to pay for it. Okay.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Okay. Get people to pay for it. And it's funny, man, because we're kind of in the process of our district kind of figuring out who should go to Boost. Who's, you know, we see all these people going to Boost. Who should really go, this, that, and the other. I think that everybody should go to Boost. If you're a teacher, you should go to Boost. If you're a principal, administrator, even if you don't even have an after-school program, you should go to it.
I went to it not having an after-school program at my current school and just being a regular core day teacher. Hopefully, I can bring that knowledge and start one at my school. Or, you know, I am kind of looking for a change for no particular reason that I need change. What's up?
Your phone's buzzing, dude.
Man, what the hell, man?
You got to throw that on silent.
I know, man. All right, there we go.
Whoop.
So.
Make it happen. So, by the way, we are recording live from the Osa Manor on this wonderful Friday evening. Appreciate everybody coming out. We got a packed house up in this place.
It is a beautiful Friday evening, so the background noise that you hear may be the children or some other adults that just randomly are walking around.
That may or may not be drinking on some libations.
All right. So, the Boost Conference.
So you were saying, as a core day teacher, don't have a program at your school, but you still found it extremely valuable. I want to know why. What's up? Well, actually, first I want to find out from you, like, what was the initial feel? What was that feel like?
Well, anytime I can get away from my normal job and get a flavor with other educators, get in the mix and start talking, I always look forward to that because I'm hoping that a conference of this nature will kind of give me some inspiration. Give me some energy.
Right,
give me some focus in a different direction. And that's exactly what I got from Boost. Okay. From the minute that I stepped on the scene, I got there late after the first night of the conference. There were no workshops. It was just a pre-conference.
Right.
But I got there late, hooked up with you guys and went to dinner and immediately was surrounded by people that are game changers. Like I could just tell by the way that they were talking. They love what they do. They believe in education. They believe in after school. And we were talking business. But it wasn't an issue. It wasn't like, oh man, it's Friday. I don't want to talk about work.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was good stuff.
It was everybody was pushing each other, and I think that's what one of the things that I love, I absolutely love about going to Boost is that like-minded people who want to push the envelope, who don't get to see each other all the time. So it's really like you want to maximize the amount of time you have with your people, and just talk shop and then push the envelope. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So. I'm glad you got that sense.
Yep. You guys have been inviting me for a couple of years. I was glad that Diego was really able to help me get out there. You too, of course.
I did nothing.
But your man's, you know, he kind of covered the whole ticket there. It is a $500 registration fee, so you're gonna, like I said, you're gonna want to get your school district to pay
and
for
you,
that.
And you know, the earlier you register, the cheaper it is. And actually, this coming year, because mm-hmm. I helped schedule, I help them come up with their payment plans and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. next year, it's gonna be a little bit more expensive if you wait till the last minute. But if you wait till July 1st, from now to July 1st, there's an early registration. And then from July 1st to October 30th, Halloween, there's an early registration. It's like $450 or $430 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, again, I highly recommend getting on that ball early and just – and here's the other thing. This is what we've seen from some people, and it creates a different experience, right? If you go to Boost and you don't stay at the Renaissance, you're going to get a different experience.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And the reason the Renaissance is, and this is not a real plug for the Renaissance, it's just where it's connected to the convention center. Mm-hmm. A lot of the events that happen are happening inside of that lobby, right? Inside of the little by the pool, whatever, those little areas. It just becomes another hassle for you to go all the way back to your hotel to change, to do whatever, and then go out or whatever. You can just do it all in one space. And so if you have the means to get there, and you have a choice to stay, I would stay at the Renaissance. That way you're in the mix.
Hey, as my man Jay-Z said, after the show, it's the after party in the hotel lobby, right?
That is correct.
And I did kind of get a different experience, only in the sense that I ended up hanging at your hotel for much longer than I did at mine. I only slept at mine and then got the hell out of there.
Right.
Okay. But everything's kind of close in Palm Springs, especially if you book downtown. We had the spa casino right there.
Right.
My hotel was only a half a block away.
Right.
The restaurants were a half a block further than that.
Right.
It's all good as far as the situation is.
Yeah. It's actually, I mean, that kind of stuff is awesome because you're walking all the way to the street fair or whatever. It's nowhere near outside of walking distance, dude. Everything's cool. And again, like you're in the conference, for the most part, you're in the conference hall or the convention center the entire day, so it's not that hot.
Mm-hmm.
But then once the sun goes down, it's still a little warm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Nothing crazy though.
Okay, so just I can tell you, and I will tell you about some of the workshops that I went to. You're obviously going to tell the listeners about yours. That's what we do here on the Educated Guest Podcast. Give you that flavor. What I really liked about the conference just off top was there were so many layers. Normally you go to a conference and there's one keynote speaker and there's two workshop sessions with a lunch in between.
Hmm.
Okay. There was more than that. There were small discussions that maybe lasted an hour where workshops
inspiration station.
There were movies.
Yeah, film festival
to go watch. There were multiple keynote speakers with different formats.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So you got your typical up at the podium, powerful speech. And then we had the actor, beautiful man, Jesse Williams.
Actor and activist.
Yeah. Actor and activist who sat down for an intimate discussion. And so it was just a different format there. Right. But also just to get back to just the layers. There were just many, many ways that you could have got involved with the conference other than workshops.
Right. And then, I don't want to turn this into like a, you know.
A plug?
pointing fingers at people who didn't have a good experience.
Okay.
But what I do caution people to do is like, don't follow these examples, right? These are non-examples.
Okay.
So we had, you know, I'm debriefing with people. Like, hey, so how was your Boost experience? Okay. So tell me why I wasn't so well. Which workshops you go to? Oh well, I was only able to go to one workshop.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your fucking fault.
Yeah.
You squandered an opportunity, right?
Right.
Okay. So I wish the workshops would have had XYZ. Well, how many did you go to? Yeah, I just went to one.
That's the problem.
That's your problem, right? Yeah. I wish I could have interacted with people. Okay, what did you go to? I went to the film festival. You're in the fucking film festival. You're just watching a movie. And they're good. You know, I'm not going to lie. The film festival.
But you ain't going to interact with people.
Yeah, but you're not going to interact with people. You're not going to meet people. So if you don't put yourself out there and you don't have your business cards ready and you don't say, hey, my name's so-and-so. What do you do? This is what I do. Let's try to work on something.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, you're not going to beat anybody, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's your own damn fault.
Right.
But yeah, so go ahead. What else? What else with the layers?
What else with the layers? Well, we did talk about what we would like to see next year for Boost in terms of the layers. Okay. We'll not get into the next year just yet.
Okay.
But I would have liked to have seen more social interaction for people that had the same interests. You know,
there were mixers, more mixers.
There were different strands for after school programs, you know, and maybe somebody who was interested in financial management of the program. Maybe, you know, all 20 of those people could have got together to go watch a movie.
Yeah. And there's one thing that we could have done better. And I think this is what we'll take to the Boost leadership team is like, it's not so much about just having the mixers, mm-hmm. but about advertising them. Right. So people know where they're at. And so I think that was one distinguishing factor of South by Southwest EDU mm-hmm. was you knew where all the mixers were. And so if there was a mixer for first timers, they all went to that mixer or whatever. Right. They all went to that spot. They all got to know each other. If there was a place for after school and tech, tech and after school.
OK,
that's where they went. You know, it was everybody knew where they were at.
Right.
So that's obviously what we can do better next time. And I think we'll put those recommendations in. But yeah, that's another addition to the layers. You know what I'm saying?
And speaking about putting those recommendations in, let's give our first shout out of the podcast.
Boom.
We're going to shout out to the CEO and
founder,
Tia Quinn.
Tia Quinn.
Person in charge. I mean, it's a big wig on campus.
Man. Her and her leadership team are just amazing, man. That's a 10-year anniversary this year.
Uh-huh.
And it's always a stressful event. I mean,
I'd be interested to hear how it began first year compared to what it is now, because it's huge now.
Right.
It is an awesome, awesome conference, and I know that it just takes a lot of people to make this happen. It's a beautiful thing.
Right. And as I imagine it, I wasn't there for the inception, but I do remember it wasn't just the Boost Conference at first. It mm-hmm. was the Region 9 After School Consortium Conference or whatever, mm-hmm. And I might be misspeaking, and I apologize for that. But it's taken on a life of its own, and that's, you know, the sheer will of Tia Quinn, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
She's had a lot of support. You know, some of our very close friends have been there to support her all along the way. Terry Gonzalez helped fund the initial startup costs, and Diego's been around since the beginning to kind of help champion that cause. So there's a lot of like we're invested in this conference to make sure that we continue to fight for what we believe in, man. And I think sharing the knowledge and being passionate about what we do, it's a good thing. I think that's why we get so salty with people who don't have the same experiences or don't value the experience of Boost,
mm-hmm.
because we see it as such a transformational experience. I mean, for us, or for me at least, I 2 years ago I took my entire staff, so I shut program down for 2 days, which is allowed. It's in the ed code that you, as long as you notify your parents ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
You can shut your program down for 2 days for professional development. So that's what I did.
All right.
So I took all of my entire staff, all my frontline staff, and the number one thing that I got back from what I heard when they got back was, wow, I didn't know that there were so many other jobs. I didn't know that there were so many other opportunities for me to be in youth development. It's not just like I'm just working for the YMCA or I'm working for whatever agency, right? It's like, oh, I can be a director of a nonprofit. Oh, I can do this. I can do that. I can work with this community. I can work with these youth, you know? And so just opening up their eyes.
Inspiration
like
and direction,
dude,
my man.
It's awesome. It's but awesome.
But you get what you put in. And I know that sounds cornball shit right
there.
No,
it is absolutely fucking for real.
There are crappy conferences where people just go to meet up and then they leave the conference.
Right.
I've been at those, but this is not one of those.
This is not one of those. Yep.
You can have a good time. You can meet people and you can learn a ton of things. And you can, like I said, you can get some kind of direction of where you want to go with your program.
Yep. Or with your life. I mean, for real.
Or what you want to do after school with your kids. Man.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be your typical program of either sports or video or DJing.
Right.
It could be a mentorship program. Anyways, different directions. You're going to need to cue some shit up for me real soon here, because we are going to do some more shout outs. I want to talk about the night that I arrived. The conference went from Tuesday to Friday.
Correct.
I missed the pre-conference to go to work, but I drove up there right after work and got there in the evening. And boom, we got right down to business, my man.
We did. Because, well, I think you came in at a very opportune time too, man. We had just wrapped up the pre-conference, and it was I was sitting on a pre-conference panel called, not on a panel, but I was in a group called where My Brother's Keeper and Sisters Inspiring Change. So the call to action was, how do we take a look at young boys and men of color for My Brother's Keeper in expanded learning, and then the same thing for young women of color, right? And so this was the first time that we had a convening where both the sisters and brothers came together, talked about policy, programs, and people. And we had a panel that featured two former White House staff members and one of our very good friends, Roberto Rivera, mm-hmm. who is recently got his doctorate in social emotional learning and all that awesome stuff. Okay. And so we got to hear from those guys. Shout out to Jesse Williams. I always call him Jesse Williams. Shout out to Jesse Moore.
Jesse Moore
from the formerly of the White House, and then Kalisha from the White House mm-hmm. also to kind of help out with sharing their wealth of knowledge.
Okay.
It was a trip. It was awesome because you'd never get. It's very rare that you get that kind of insider baseball
okay.
about what to do and how to change social movements and stuff like that. So that was very, very awesome. Being in that kind of environment where everybody's so inspired by everybody else, you know what I'm saying? Like just the work that people are doing is freaking amazing, right? Mm-hmm. Shout out to Marcus Struther at I Am Educated on Twitter. He was sharing his experience with taking 30 of his Men's Leadership Academy to Washington, D.C. the previous week. And it was freaking transformational, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were talking about it on the way from when I picked him up from the airport to the conference, and how the goal of that was to try to switch the or try to bridge the opportunity gap, try to bridge the experience gap, and try mm-hmm. to bridge that fulfillment gap. Mm-hmm. And just being able to share stories like that were super, super powerful, man.
You know, I have a decent sense of what a person is about after meeting them for a few minutes, and I got a good sense of Marcus that he is a person who is about change. He is about giving young adults the ability to change their lives and their community.
Yeah,
that's really what he is and what he strives for.
Man, I mean to level 10,000, bro. Huh. I mean, we're talking about a former high school principal in Chicago. Who just, I mean, transformed the school that he was at. Mm-hmm. And that's just been his quest, man. The dude is bad, man. He was, voted a citizen of the year in Chicago, mm-hmm. public citizen of the year in 2015. The dude's just, he's one of the most genuinely good people I've ever met in my life. And it was cool just to hang out with him, really kind of get...
So Educated Guest podcast listeners, if you're looking for somebody to follow on Twitter, that's my man.
That's my man. I am educated.
I am educated. So I arrived. We had dinner. It was awesome. We get back to the hotel and we mix it up at the bar area.
Yeah. No. So at dinner we were messing around with this idea about, you know, how do we combine these two podcasts, right? Because mm-hmm. The brother Bruno Marchesi mm-hmm. is who works for. The Collaborative Solutions up in Sacramento. He has a podcast that he works on called The Well,
like, and it's a YouTube channel. It's a video, a vlog, whatever you call it.
And he talks about the world of expanded learning, uh-huh. and so that gets pushed out to a lot of site leads and stuff like that. So we were chopping it up. We're saying, hey, you know, we got to get Educated Guests and The Well together mm-hmm. to do something kind of funky, right? And sure as shit. Right, like
we made that happen in the bar area at the Renaissance Hotel.
We made that happen, and it was funny, man, because you know I think some people were talking about it tongue in cheek at first. They're like, "Are you guys really going to do this?" And then Bruno just props to Bruno, man, at his core values on Twitter, he busted out, "Hey, man, I'll get all my equipment right now. Let's do this. All right, let's do it." And he came correct with the lapel mics, the video camera. And the lights, bro. Mm-hmm, and he mm-hmm. had everything legit. Uh-oh.
Somebody's ringing the doorbell.
That's what's up.
That's like straight out of like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Who's at the door?
Oh, my goodness. We have a guest. Cue the music.
Who's at the door? So, again, Rodrigo went over that kind of quickly. You might not have picked it up. His Twitter handle is at his core values. His name is Bruno Marchesi. His YouTube channel is called The Well, W-E-L. That's the world of expanded learning. And I want you to check him out. It is our first It's our first blended cast, our first time on video.
We called it the odd cast.
We called that the odd cast. And it was dope. And it was dope.
Yeah.
Now, the real important part of that odd cast for me, what's up? Oh. Was meeting another very powerful educator. You're talking about when Caesar Does It meets the Mr. G. Tell us who Mr. G is real quick and understand that we will have a podcast with him in the very near future.
So Mr. G was actually Diego Arancibia's first assistant principal that he worked under at Edison Middle School in L.A. when he was working for L.A. All-Stars.
Okay.
Right? And so Mr. G has a little, has an edge to him, right? Mm. He has that. He came from the streets and became a math teacher and then became an assistant principal, and now he's a principal, right? But never met a dude who's just, again, like as he'll call it like he sees it and kind of like rough and rugged, but my man is all about students. He's all about them kids, and it's so dope to have these like. I would only I didn't work for the dude. I just heard secondhand stories with Diego. Right,
your brother worked for the dude.
My brother worked for the dude.
Yeah,
but we would hear these stories, bro, about just you know how do you, you know, he would come out and say, all right, bro, how are we gonna make this program zesty, you know, and just kind of come in with that lean and just kind of get that feed, you know what I'm saying? And he was dope, dude. He was just an absolutely amazing. Educational leader, man. And so what was cool was it was his first time at Boost too. We've been trying to get him to go to Boost for a hot minute. Mm-hmm. And so we locked it down this year. And so we knew from the jump, hey man, Caesar's gonna love Mr. G. Mr. G is gonna love Caesar.
We're gonna hit it off.
I don't know how it's gonna happen, but they're gonna enjoy it. And so sure as shit, you know, we got it posted up. If you want to check it out, the link is on.
What are you talking about?
On the podcast. We actually videotaped it and put it up, our Oddcast.
So the Oddcast is on the Facebook page for Educated Guests.
It is.
I believe I also retweeted it. I should probably pin it. That would be kind of dope just to pin it to the top of my page.
I think so too.
At Caesar Does It. You know how to find me, okay? You've been listening. right? So you can find him at both those places, but I don't really have the link. His YouTube channel is called The Well.
Yeah, you can find him at The Well.
W-E-L.
And so I'm curious to hear from you, though. We do that Oddcast, and it's me, you, Mr. G.
Mm-hmm.
What was your biggest takeaway in that conversation, man?
Well, I mean, Mr. G and I have had after-school programs before at our sites, and I think it was good to get it off our chest that we're like first-timers at Boost and what we expected to get out of it. As far as what I took away from that conversation,
yeah, my man. I want to know, because that was, I thought that conversation was dope, and I thought it was cool to kind of have everybody kind of share their different sides of the coin.
So we need to also give a shout out to the people that were there. We had a small audience, and we let the audience chime in at the same time, ask their questions, give their opinions. There were people there from the Bay Area. Right?
John Fuentes,
who we will call Johnny Fuego. I don't know if he really wants to let me call him that, but I'm going to do it anyways. Johnny Fuentes and his people from the Bay Area were there. Yep. Jerry Gonzalez from New Mexico was there with his peoples. And who else was there?
Tutti Vasquez
was there. Shout out Tutti Vasquez. So we had an audience, and we let them chime in. Yep. And it was real cool to have people talk about how the core day and the after school day should not be so separate, mm-hmm. and that the communication is key. Right. Communication is key. And I brought my experience at Clark Middle School into that, saying, hey, after school was always an integral part of our school day. I mean, they were doing stuff, advertising at lunch,
right.
at
right.
our
right.
breaks. Right. Kids knew that they could go somewhere after school on
yeah.
campus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the people from the crowd were saying, you know, we got communication issues at our school, and that's the biggest problem.
Right.
Is that teachers see themselves as separate from us, and we, frankly, see ourselves as separate from the school day.
Right, right, right.
And that doesn't contribute to a successful program.
Correct.
So that's my biggest takeaway, my man.
And then what I was pushing the entire time was there is one fundamental person that is the linchpin for success of these programs.
You've always said this.
And I've always said this.
And you're going to continue to say
and
it.
And I will continue to say it. But there's two people that are integral, right? There's the site lead or the coordinator,
site coordinator for the after-school program.
That person is huge, and that's the number one.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say even before that person becomes the number one, you got to get the principal involved.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if your principal is either doesn't care, is uninterested, or is just uninformed, you're fucked. And it sucks to say it like that, but it's true, because what happens is you won't be able to leverage as many opportunities as you possibly could if you don't have someone championing the cause.
Right, right. You know what I'm saying? Right. I think we need a funky break because, like, I'm getting a little dry right here. Shout out to your man, the Mr. G. We hit it off. He is a tough, tough principal. There was a couple of conversations where I'm just like, bro, me and you would be in the office going at it over this.
But
for real. I mean, we were very upfront with each other. But everything he does for kids. And he is a new and a good friend. I would consider him a good friend.
I agree.
How about some of that 1738, though? Your man, Mr. G, was kind. Your man, Mr. G, was kind enough to share a bottle with us. Pulled it right out of his trunk. Was like, "Here you guys go."
Some of that Remy.
Some of that Fetty Wap.
Yeah, baby. And we'll be right back. We'll be after right this. Back.
All right. Dude, we're back from our break. Educated Guest Podcast, episode 18. We're talking about the Boost Conference and our reflections. Again, that's the Boost Conference, the best of out of school time.
Holy cow, that was a great intro. That was precious. Came out coming in hot. I love that.
Always. The mics are on. We always come in hot. Whew. Here. That's what we do. Let's give our shout outs again. So we got Bruno Marchese, and he is his core values. And my brother Marcus Struther, and he is at I Am Educated. Another good person that I met. I've met him before. He is a board member up in Woodland, somewhere up north. His name is Tico Zendejas.
My man, Gallup Certified Strengths Coach.
Okay.
And that's how you met him originally.
Right, for the Strengths Finder?
Strength-based Institute with YDN.
Mm.
It was good stuff. But, you know, we came to learn that his nickname is now going to be Launch Codes.
Launch Codes, because he walked around Palm Springs, wherever he went, with a damn briefcase. A vintage
1978 briefcase. My man had a straight up leather leather briefcase. I ain't seen one of them cats since my pops back in the day, bro.
We tried to go to lunch one day, right? We wanted to go to the buffet at the Spa Casino, right? But we had a youth with us, so they wouldn't let us in. We're walking around in triple digit weather, all right? And Tico is wearing
suited and booted.
With a briefcase, sweating. So shout out to Tico Zendejas.
The only thing was missing was the handcuff, bro. That thing was ultra top secret.
Yeah, man.
Sure.
Yeah, nobody knows what's in there. Shout out to my man, Terry Gonzalez. He was like on episode 2 of the Educated Guest Podcast. Like that.
Yeah.
After School
early,
Depot.
Early. After School Depot, After School Industries.
Shout out to my man, Terry. Shout out to Johnny Fuentes, a.k.a. Johnny Fuego, from the Bay Area by way of New York. We'll talk more about the fun that we had outside of the conference. And shout out to Tutti Vasquez, right?
Word up. And then Roberto Rivera, the homie Roberto Rivera, GL, at GL something on Twitter.
All right. So one of the things that I talked about was the many layers of the conference. We did have many keynote speakers. It wasn't just one each day. It was more like two or three each day.
Right.
We had the day that I got to the conference, Wednesday.
Okay.
We had the student keynotes.
Right.
Shout out to, I want to say her name was Adriana. She is a trans student from Castle Park High School right here in my district, Sweetwater Union High School District. She came out there and spoke her truth about her journey through schooling and life and just the support that she either did or did not get. And she was accompanied by her principal and by her AP English teacher.
Yep.
Right. Yep, Nikki Eddy. And Nikki Eddy will be my guest. I will interview her on May the 15th.
Oh, word up.
Okay, word. Anyway, so back to the Boost Conference. Many, many powerful speakers. And one of them was activist and actor Jesse Williams. T- Talk a little bit about that, man. How was that set up?
So we set, they set up the it wasn't like a traditional keynote, right? And part of the reason why that was is based on the request. If anybody's done a keynote, it's a lot of work, right? Like the preparation for what you want to say and how you want to say it is really important. So I think some people kind of got the misconception that, you know, or the misunderstanding that he was going to do what he did on BET, right, for his acceptance speech. And, mm-hmm. and that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. The way it was set up was we fielded questions from the field, you know, what questions do you want to hear? And then we selected those bad boys. And then our man, Jesse Moore.
Well, from the White House, formerly of the White House.
Formerly of the White House, Jesse Moore came out there and helped guide the interview. And it helped bring some focus into the conversation. And it was, I thought it was really, 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 really well done. Mm-hmm. Jesse Moore did a really great job of making it seem like it was just a natural conversation. It wasn't mm-hmm. like a set of questions.
And I think it was better for Jesse also, right? I think we got more out of him because of that.
I think so, too. The level of authenticity that was there was not like a canned keynote. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen people in the past that were just, oh, I heard that keynote last year, or I've heard that keynote before. It's one size fits all when it comes to keynotes. But, you know, with this kind of setup of just interviewing and answering questions, you got a different view of Jesse, and I'll be honest, man, it was uncomfortable for some people. We saw a couple people leave. We saw a couple people stand up and go, "What is this all about?" And that's good because that means that we're talking about things that need to be talked about. You know what I mean?
Okay, so how do we make that relevant for people that don't understand? For those people that were walking out or felt uncomfortable, right? Because he was talking a lot about the youth, a lot about the justice system, prison. Prison to schools pipeline. Mm-hmm. These things make people uncomfortable. But I think that in order to understand the kids that you are dealing with, I'm sorry, the students that you are dealing right. with, I mean, you have to have this information. It's got to be a part of your arsenal.
The acknowledgement of what's there, what's set up, and the systems and institutions that are set up to, whether we like it or not, mm-hmm. the systems and institutions that are set up to prevent people from access or opportunity, or support some people and not others, we need to be having that conversation. You know what I mean? And you know, that conversation makes a lot of people uncomfortable because they don't want to recognize it. And I think one thing that Jesse pointed out was, like, it's not you who is acting upon the racism. It was, it might have been someone else, and you don't have to identify with that. You just need to be a part of the part of the solution.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And so,
and just, people are turned off because somehow they internalize that as being blamed.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's the scary part, right? It's like, we can figure out the solution together, but you are instead choosing to make this about you, and it's not. Yeah. It's not about you. You know what I'm saying?
All right. You probably didn't make it to too many workshops because you've done it all.
Yeah. Well, no. So typically, the way I do Boost is I use the time to connect with people that I haven't connected with in a while. So sometimes that happens during the workshops. But this year, I sat on a couple panels. I helped out with a film for Most Likely to Succeed,
okay,
which had a very good friend of mine, Mike Strong, at Mr. Strong III on Twitter. Dude, brilliant, just an absolute brilliant educator. We're hoping to get Michael Stranger on the Educated Guest podcast. Mm. But the film Most Likely to Succeed really tries to make people question traditional education and how it's been set up and how we can approach it in the future, right?
Okay.
So that was dope. That was the I want to say the Wednesday morning session. And then I was a part of a discussion. I went to the discussion for the cost of quality. Right. And we talked a little bit about that. So we had some people on a panel talking about how much quality costs and what the impact is on after school programs and how, you know, really kind of discussing, having a dialogue about, you know, we have these requirements to have high quality programs, and there's a cost associated with that.
Okay.
And so when the costs go up, you know, can we still maintain those qualities and that kind of discourse, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's always been, I have a very, very strong opinion about this, and I think quality can happen at any level. And when we start to worry about cost, it's usually in terms of scale, and it's usually in terms of an agency getting too big and worrying about their bottom line. And so that becomes problematic when you're trying to run a business off of state-run dollars. It's just not feasible. So you need to find it. I think there's more than anything. It's your business plan is flawed, and not the system in which we're working in. So that was the cost of quality, and then I was able to sit on a panel for project-based learning, using my experience in project-based learning and teaching.
Okay.
And so that was Thursday morning, and so it was cool, man. I mean, those were the language lab. And I think you and I participated in the language lab together, and that was worth the registration itself. So the brother Mark Gonzalez from Stanford University and former deaf poet, and the brother Mike De La Rocha, mm-hmm. of the Revolve Impact team and the Amplifier Foundation.
So what do you think was the purpose of the language lab?
So the language lab was, so their goal, so remember that what they did was they actually ended up creating a narrative for the We the People campaign. Right?
Okay.
And so you saw the posters with the girl with the hijab and the other like We the Resilient, you know, uh-huh. we've seen this before, whatever, that whole campaign.
Yeah.
So they were able to come up with that whole campaign. They developed a narrative for this troubling time that we had after Trump was elected, right? And yeah, we got kids playing in the background. They're getting all
crazy. Yeah, the loud banging. Mm-hmm. Me coughing, that was one of them hitting me in the throat.
But so they ended up designing these campaigns, these social impact campaigns, right? Mm-hmm. And so what they're trying to do is develop another social impact campaign for education. And so this was their first round of language labs of gathering that qualitative data of the narrative that we have in stories. So if you remember the way it was, I was so moved and so touched by this workshop. It was a trip because they asked us, it was very simple. Like there's nothing flashy, nothing crazy in the workshop. But they just asked really, really poignant questions, and they asked people to speak from their heart and not from their head.
Mm.
And so when you ask educators about their most empowering experience teaching and why they got into the field, and then when you ask educators what's the most tragic thing they've seen,
mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
those are two totally polar opposites, and it just makes you get into this mental space where, you know, you really remember why you're doing the work that you're doing. And so all those experiences helped us create a narrative that we hope to blast out a campaign for the rest of the nation, right?
Yeah.
And so what they do is they create this narrative and this campaign of, you know, these phrases of, you know, what education means to people. And then they pair up an artist with those statements, right?
Okay.
So like Shepard Fairey was part of the We the People campaign. So you saw a lot of his work or his art paired up with some of the statements that were made. So I encourage everybody to go check out the Amplifier Foundation.
Okay. Yeah.
They can get free downloads.
Revolve Impact.
And Revolve Impact. They can get free downloads of all those.
Of Shepard Fairey's art.
All
of it. And print it out.
It's dope, dude. I mean, it's really, 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 really cool, man, that they're able to do that. And so.
So again, that website is Amplifier.
Amplifier Foundation.
Okay.
And then Revolve Impact is part of the group that helps facilitate that.
Okay.
Mark All Gonzalez, right. again, comes out of Stanford. I want to say that I don't remember exactly where what part of Stanford he's working out of.
All right, Joey Ramble. So anyways.
Yeah, baby.
The power, you know, the power for me going to the conference in general is just meeting just awesome educators, people that inspire me. giving me that direction. I always mention that. And so at that, at the language lab, I met an educator from, I want to say he's from the State Department of Education. He could just be from Sacramento, just from Sacramento, but his name was Johannes.
Oh, yeah. I know who he is. Yes. I want to say he's a regional lead for CDE.
Yes.
The California Department of Education.
Yes.
I don't remember which region. I want to say it's more, not Sacramento, but.
So your man's a big player in the game, right?
Right.
But he and I are just conversing like two people on a park bench.
Right.
And he's telling me his story. And he did ask me to keep his story private, so I will honor that. But I'm just saying the power that was within his story and talking to this man, the language lab was worth that.
That's what's up.
And these are the kinds of things that I go to conferences for. And one of the reasons why I will encourage people to go to the Boost conference to figure out a way to get their district to pay for the Boost conference, because you know what? It's going to come back to the district anyways.
Yeah.
I mean?
Tenfold, right?
So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah. Again, it's about building relationships, man. I think so much of what we've been talking about, what we've been writing about, mm-hmm. has been like, how do we capitalize on three major relationships in our schools? Student-to-student relationships, staff-to-student relationships, and adult-adult relationships,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think this is a great opportunity for adults to build relationships with other colleagues and then build relationships with their team. Because if you go there, I mean, it's cool to go there by yourself, but it's always going to be more impactful, more transformative if you go with a team. And I think for you, it was a little different because you walked into a team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I walked into a team that already existed.
Correct. And you were a walk-on, but it's
I fit.
You fit.
You
fit like a glove.
Like a little piece of the puzzle. It was in the corner.
But then the same thing though, like with Mr. G. Mr. G was same thing. He came solo from his organization and he fit like a glove as well. And so having you two work together, it was butter.
Okay, so I think that one of the things that we did talk about afterwards, we reflected on what we wanted to see happen for next year.
Yeah.
And I think something to keep in mind is those people that come solo, or even if it's just two or three people that they got no connection at all. Mm-hmm. How do we bring them in to a larger experience in Boost? And I think that might not be something that we can solve right now, but it's something that we should just put out there.
Which is, be cognizant of, yep. right? And I think that... The what's funny is like the simple things like the mixer and publicizing the mixers, those are real actionable things that we can do for next year that help people out, especially mm-hmm. First timers. But mm-hmm. when we did our reflection, and this is something I encourage everybody to do in any kind of experience that you go through, and not a lot of people do it. I found that like not a lot of people do this, right? Is really take some time to digest and process what you've just experienced and mm-hmm. go through a guided facilitation or a guided reflection of what you just experienced. And I think that was, you know, really, really powerful for Diego and I when we went on Saturday night. We just kind of came back to my house and we were like, okay, I really jacked some stuff from one of my colleagues over at High Takai, Caleb Rashad, Dr. Caleb Rashad. He was facilitating a meeting that morning. And their part of their reflection was, you know, that I learned, I wish, I wonder, that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. so we just kind of went through that process of what does that look like for Boost? And it helped us process everything, man. It helped us process everything. And it was able to, and we focused on two things, like what partnerships do we want to cultivate this next coming year? Mm-hmm. And what programs do we want to focus on?
Mm-hmm.
Partnerships and programs.
Okay.
And so, that was dope because now we had a guiding light for us, right? Like, okay, next year we're going to invite the mayor of Chula Vista. We're going to invite board member Nikki Segura.
Or just board members in general.
Period. Yeah, right? Period. Because we were talking about identifying some board members in LA as mm-hmm. well, right? And so, again, the more that we get these people involved and really seeing, and I think, and tell me what you think about this and tell me if this is true. It's one thing for me to tell you about what Boost is like, and it's another thing for you to experience it. Because I could tell you everything, right? And then say, hey, you know, this is what you're going to go, this is what you're going to get through, blah, 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 blah. But then once you experience it, I don't know if you can explain it. What do you think?
Oh, no, I absolutely agree. And we're trying to explain it here, and people are listening, but they're not going to get the experience. So that's why I'm saying,
y'all need to
figure out a way to go. Don't cover that cost yourself. It's kind of a hefty cost, but figure out a way to go.
Right. And,
go with a team if you can.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So having said that, where else are we going with this, my man? Boost Conference 2017.
You know, we did have a little fun. We had a little fun.
We can't talk about the fun unless you're ready to cue up some music. I can talk about it while you find it, all right? I can talk about it while you find it. So the first night I get there, Tuesday night, I missed the pre-conference. We all go out to dinner together, and we had a good time, and I can tell that there were a lot of inspirational educators that I was amongst, and the conversation was just flowing. And we just decided to take a little walk around Palm Springs, grab us a little ice cream, right?
Yeah.
And in the window of the ice cream parlor was an ad. There's a Hard Rock Hotel in Palm Springs, so I guess they get musical acts every now and then. And we saw that Ghostface Killah and Killer Priest from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, word?
We're going to be there, word? Right? And we were amongst some hip-hop heads, so we kind of knew that if we said, hey, Wu-Tang Clan is going to be here tomorrow night, that things were going to happen. Yes? So what do we end up doing, man?
So we end up Wednesday night, just like, dude, someone checks out the tickets. How much does it cost? Oh, man, it's like $45, $50.
I'll still pay it.
Me, I'm like, yo, that's a lot of money. I'm like, yo, I don't know if we're gonna do that. Blah 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 blah. And then, sure as shit, we have family that's over there living or staying at the Hard Rock Hotel. And they're like, yo, they have people out there slanging the tickets, like people from Hard Rock. They said, hey, they're $20, so they're just trying to fire sale them out, right? Mm-hmm. So then now it becomes a lot more interesting, right? We're like, you know what? I don't know.
How many people do you think we ended up with there? About a good 20?
I would say about 20 people, dude. At least.
Which is good.
At least. Because here's the thing, dude. It was Palm Springs. Mm. There wasn't but no one there. Dude, there's hardly anybody. We talked about this afterwards. Like, I don't know how Ghostface came on. Because there was hardly any people there, man. I could see him just going, you know what? There ain't enough people here.
I'm out.
F that. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And he came up. And he rocked it, and it was funny, man, because he did, how many minutes did he actually perform?
Well, he even said it. He did 20.
He said, he came up at the end, he goes, all right, 20 minutes is up. That's it. Pops pretty.
He's like, they paid me for 20 minutes, I'm out.
And we were like, oh, word? Hashtag oh word it, question mark. That's three O's.
That place that we were in, though, like, I don't even think that was their concert hall at the Hard Rock, because it looked like a salon. You know what I mean? That looked like where
it looked a little. It looked like a place where you hold a quinceañera. Like not a whole.
And it didn't have a stage that was like built into the room. Like, no, if you really,
it was
a setup stage, like a breakdown in 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? A Coleman stage,
my man. And so he gets in there, but he plays the Wu medley, and I think that was cool. I think what was also cool was he broke down and like had a, he would, you know, he had his little, we got to play some Al Green.
That's right.
He played a little Al Green, mm-hmm. and everybody's singing Al Green.
Everybody's doing it.
He played a little Mary Jane.
I love it when they do that at hip hop concerts, when they play other people's music and just rock.
It was pretty dope. And again, that was part of the experience. But I got to put you on blast.
What?
Because, you know, he did come on at like 12:30.
Right. Right, right.
So my man Zarf over here, Caesar does it.
Caesar
right?
does it on them Twitters.
It is at probably 11:30. Uh-huh. My man, got a little lazy eyed. Right, you got a little tired. had to take a halftime break. Right.
There are some pictures, aren't there?
There is evidence, and my man had to sit down on the couch. Motherfucker fell asleep.
It was a long day, bro. And the heat was triple digits. And your man, Mr. G, breaks out the 1738.
Okay. He's going to blame it on the Rebbe.
But.
Blame it on the Rebbe. Okay.
But there's no excuse for coming on at 1230. You come on at 10:30.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You come on at 10:30.
Come on, bro.
The only reason he wanted to come on at 1230 was because
he wanted to see the place packed.
It was April 19th, and he wanted to come on 420. Oh, that's the only reason that dude played.
That's what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And he even mentioned that.
I don't. That could be. It could be. It could be. But you know, it's classic.
But your boy was tired, bro.
Your boy was.
Your boy was tired.
And then you know what? Once the pictures go up, right? Then all the memes got to come up.
That's right.
So yeah, we got pictures of you and the homie Terry just ass asleep on the couch.
Sleep.
Mr. G looking at y'all like, what the hell just happened? And so we had the memes come up. And my favorite meme of that night was, I don't sleep, huh? Because sleep is the cousin of, oh, shit. Oh, shit. They're asleep.
You're not going to get that joke on the Educated Gets podcast unless you are a hip-hop listener. There's a Nas reference. First album.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we had a good night that night, and we had a good conference overall, period. And
period.
We made some awesome connections, some powerful connections. We're going to be looking forward to it next year for sure. Again, drop the dates on the Boost Conference real quick.
May 1st to May 4th, mm-hmm, 2018. Mm-hmm. Tea times are going to be set up easily.
That's right. That's right.
For if those you're of into you playing
like,
golf.
If you like golf, if board members golf. That like golf, right?
Oh man, what else? But if there was one final takeaway that you could tell people right now, if you say, "Hey, you know what? Whether you're in the after school or not, what's the one takeaway that you want to have for after school programs?"
Well, I think I already mentioned it earlier, and the thing is that for an after school program to be successful, it's got to be woven into the core school day.
Word.
I've seen it happen. It's possible, and it doesn't interfere with what we do during the core day. Mm. Okay, so whether it's them advertising on your announcements, whether it's them doing functions at lunch, to advertise what classes or what they offer in their program, it's got to be a part of the school day for it to be successful. My other takeaway is real simple, and something that I think everybody can understand is that students that show up to after school programs are more likely to attend school, and thus they're more likely to graduate. It's simple. Not me?
Yeah, man. It's so simple that people don't get it. Mm. You know what I mean? And if there's one thing that I could take away is that, like, the value of relationships, right? I don't think... And us cultivating our relationships either with our students or with our staff, that's a huge, huge, huge piece that often goes underappreciated.
Okay.
And so if we can bridging the fulfillment gap is going to start with cultivating those relationships.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, when I chose to go to workshops, one that was on mentoring Black and Latino young men, and the other one was on school and classroom culture, because I am interested in those kinds of relationships. I'm not sure if that's exactly what you're speaking on, but
no, that's it. You know, and it is. It's a big piece, man. And
like you said, student to student, student to adult, adult to adult.
That's it.
All right.
That's it.
One. So let's bring it out on the Educated Guest podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Our reflections on Palm Springs 2017 Boost Conference. That's the best of out of school time. Again, I want to send a special shout out to Bruno Marchese of The Well. Check out his YouTube channel. Thank you for filming us on my first night there. I had an awesome time. You're brilliant at what you do. And my man Marcus Struther at I Am Educated,
the real OG dude.
Yeah, man. You are a game changer, and you know, not to slight anybody, but my man, Mr. G, we will interview you soon on the Educated Guest podcast. You are a strong leader, and people need to hear your words, man.
Word.
All right. So find us on them Twitters.
Yeah, man. Mr. A, Mr. _ AYYY.
That's right. And you know me, Caesar does it. And of course, look at the Facebook page for the Educated Guest podcast. Thank you for listening. Episode 18. And we out. Yeah, you got to turn that up a little bit. Shout out Ghostface and Killer Priest. Hey, Killer Priest was all right. I never heard him.
He was all right. He was all right. It was a trip because, you know, when he started to play his new stuff, everyone's like, what the
fuck? One thing about a true MC is that they have to have a powerful voice, like a commanding voice. You can't be a soft motherfucker.
Yeah, that's true.
And that dude's voice was booming the whole
night.
He
was hard. He was hard. But it was weird because with his new stuff, we were trying to figure out, like, what is he doing right now? But, you know, he did when he played the stuff he's new.
Yeah.
He was tight. Everybody was like, okay, I got you.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.